All right, let's get into the word. Enough with the announcements. Let's get into the word. We're going to be in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 14. We've, over the past couple of weeks, we've been in this series called Walking in the Light, and we have been methodically working through this. We started off with chapter 1. Now we're in chapter 2. Last week, we talked about the advocate that we have in Christ Jesus. If you missed that, you can go back on YouTube and listen to all those messages. Today, we're talking about walking in light of love. Walking in light of love. I want to read this real quick, and then we're going to break it down. Amen? Verse 7, it says this, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you." Him being Jesus, and obviously you being you. "Because the darkness is passing away." Remember, over the past couple weeks, we've been talking about the difference between walking in the darkness and walking in light. And the reality is that as we are walking in the light of Jesus, the darkness in our lives has to be passing away. Right? Like, as we're walking in the light, and the light is revealing the darkness, it is not only revealing the darkness within our lives, but it's also removing it and displacing it and getting rid of it in our lives, which is changing us from the inside out. He says, "And the true light is already shining." Verse 9, "Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Verse 12 says, "I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Now, what John is doing here, remember, the audience, for those of you who have missed the past couple weeks, the audience that John is writing to is the body of believers that were scattered throughout Ephesus, right? So there are these home churches that were gathering, and he's writing this letter to them to refute bad theology and to teach them what discipleship really looks like. Because, as we know in the world, many people will profess to be something, and their lifestyle will not match up to that. And John wants the disciples to know, hey, if you're going to profess to be people who have fellowship with God and who walk in the light, then your life has to look like you walk in the light. It has to be different from everyone else. It can't be based on your own thoughts, ideas, and theology. That's why John, when he starts the letter, he says, "This is the message that I have received, that we have received from the beginning." What John is trying to do is he's trying to establish the author of the message and letting you know, hey, these aren't my own ideas that are coming into my mind. This isn't my own theology and my own message I'm giving to you. This message comes first from above. This is the word of God. This is God speaking to all of us. This isn't my own concept of what I think discipleship looks like or what I think Christianity looks like. He's letting you know, I'm only teaching you what he taught us. And so part of that is not just living in the light and walking in darkness. And we know that John, last week he talked about how if you truly walk in the light, that will be evidenced by the fact that you're walking out in his way. Meaning that you're walking out his teachings, that you're loving like Jesus and you're talking like Jesus and you're walking like Jesus and you're obeying his commands. You're obeying these words that you hear week in and week out. You see, the evidence of your salvation is not a 30-second prayer that you made at one point in your life. The evidence of your salvation is the fruit of God's work in your life that is produced and on your in your everyday living that makes your life look different than what it was. That's what John wants you to understand. That in order to be a true disciple of Jesus, you actually have to walk like a disciple of Jesus. And there's no easier way to do that than in the way that you interact with one another. There's no more difficult place in our lives to obey God than in the way that we love. And you know this is true. Because loving people is difficult. Can I just be honest? As a pastor, loving some of you, you don't make it easy. Can I be real? Can I be real for a second? As your pastor, I don't make it easy for you to love me. Because we're human. My whole team is like, Right? Why? Because we, number one, people are people. We're flawed. We're broken. We're accustomed to walking in darkness. We're accustomed to walking in offense. We're accustomed to preserving ourselves and looking out for ourselves and caring for ourselves and not caring for others. That's why when John starts this section of his book, he starts off by letting you know this commandment that I'm giving to you, it's an old commandment. It's nothing new. But at the same time, he goes on into verse 2 and says, but it also is a new commandment. John, what does that mean? Either it's something old or it's something new. It can't be both. And actually, it really can. Because what John is letting him know, that this is the same teaching you've heard your entire life. Remember, he's writing to believers. He's writing to both Jewish and Greek people who have been taught to love like Jesus loved. To live like Jesus lived. To walk out the message of Jesus. And the message of Jesus was love. But what makes it new is that the way Jesus loved was totally different than the way this dark world loves. Look at what it says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. It says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord your God. So from the very beginning, these people have been hearing you ought to love extremely. You know why it's extreme? Because there's nobody in your life you love more than you. That's true for all of us. Even the most wicked people, there is no one you love more in your life more than you. And there was no one that will ever love you more than you love yourself. That's why this love is extreme. Right? And they've been hearing this their entire life. You have to understand that as Jewish children, they're taught to memorize the law of God from very young age. So their entire life, they're hearing, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, with all your soul. And he's teaching them this idea of love. That's why it's old. But it's new because then Jesus comes in and he actually shows him a love that is so much different than what this world teaches you to love. And in John chapter 13, verse 34, he says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Hear me. Loving others is not just optional. It's essential to the Christian faith. Loving others is not just optional, but essential to Christian living. Love is both the foundation and the evidence of our fellowship with Christ. And as I was studying this passage, I came across this commentator who wrote this. The reason why this love was new to the world is because the cross points in four directions to show that the love of Jesus is wide enough to include everyone, long enough to last through all eternity, deep enough to reach the most guilty sinner, and high enough to take us to heaven. That's profound. Has anybody ever loved that way? Wide enough to where you include everyone in your love, not just the people you agree with, not just the people that look at you, that look like you, act like you, talk like you, like the same team as you, go Birds, right? Not just the people who treat you nicely, but also do you wrong. Wide enough to include every human being. Long enough to last through all of eternity. I can tell you right now, I already missed the mark. Because my love, oftentimes, if I could just be real and honest for you, is conditional. I will love people as much as they deserve, in my opinion, to be loved. And that's true for you too, so don't look at me that way. We don't love unconditionally. We don't love uncircumstantially. Meaning that we don't love whether it feels good according to our circumstances or not. But the love of Jesus is new because it does love that way. It loves whether you do right or you do wrong. It loves whether you have betrayed him like Peter or you have been faithful to him like John. It loves whether you are persecuting him on the cross or he's hanging there on the cross actually praying for the people who are persecuting him. His love is long enough to last through all of eternity. His love is deep enough to reach the most guilty of sinner. That's you and me. And his love is high enough that it takes us to heaven. This is why John is so clear in saying it's both the kind of love you've heard of your entire life. It's an old commandment. But it's also a new commandment because you've never actually lived it out. Because the reality is that the commandment has existed forever and ever. As long as God has been in existence, which is all of eternity, that's how long his love has existed. The problem is not in his existence, but it's in humanity's ability to execute it. We have missed the mark big time because we only love when people are lovable. We only love when it suits our needs. We only love when we agree with it, when it feels good, when people deserve it, earn it, when they reach a certain accolade to be able to do it, when they meet a certain lifestyle standard. That's the way you and I love. But the kind of love that God teaches us is so far beyond the love that this world teaches us. And here's what you need to understand. You as a disciple of Jesus are held to the standard of Jesus. We as disciples of Jesus are not held to the standard of this world. We're not held to the teachings of this world. We're not held to the standard of our own thoughts, beliefs, understandings, agreements. We're held to the standard of God. This is not just a bunch of words on pages. This is the standard by which we live by. If our life doesn't match up to this, then what needs to change is not this, it's this. What needs to change is what's going on the inside of us. What needs to change is our doctrine and theology. So John wants you to know, hey, listen, love is not only essential, it is the foundation and the evidence of your Christian walk. You cannot love God and not love people. And you cannot love people without first loving God. The two go hand in hand. As you're fellowshipping with the Father, that is that fellowship, that blessing, that beauty is actually that being reflected across the board with one another. And as we are fellowshipping with Him, we're fellowshipping with one another. That's why when it comes to the church, hear me, you cannot say you love God and hate the church. You can't say you love God and not want to be a part of His body. It's not possible. And what makes me scared is that we have a bunch of people who are walking around like Cousin It. Just touching everything and messing everything up. Because we profess to have a love for God while also being in offense, bitterness, frustration, anger, and pure hatred for His body. And John says, no. Anyone who says that he walks in light, verse 8. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you. This truth is both in Jesus and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Here's the evidence of that. The darkness, right? Jesus is shining His light into your life. He's getting rid of the darkness in your life. And the evidence of that is that whoever says he is in the light and hate his brother is still in darkness. So in other words, what he's saying is the evidence of the fact that this darkness is passing away in your life is that you are loving one another. That you're embracing one another. That you're in fellowship with one another. That you love the person sitting to your right. Love the person sitting to your left. And love the people that you don't want to deem lovable. Love is the evidence of whether or not we're walking in the light of Jesus. And I love that John makes the contrast clear between those two. Because he says walking in the light is walking in love towards our brothers and sisters. Walking in darkness is walking in hatred towards our brothers and sisters. And notice that he doesn't give you a gray area. Right? He doesn't give you a chance to stand on both sides. Like, no. There's no gray with God. Well, I'm somewhere between loving my brother and hating my brother. I don't really love him. I don't hate him. I kind of just like him. You know what I mean? You ever been there? Or am I the only one? You guys are just leaving me up here by myself. I'll stand up here by myself. I will expose myself. But God doesn't give us a gray path. You either walk in love or you walk in hate. The same way you either walk in the light or you walk in darkness, but you cannot do both. Because when you walk in darkness, and you walk in the darkness of hatred, bitterness, and offense, you're walking as a bound man. You're walking bound by hurt. You're bound to the hurt yourself. You're bound to the hurt of others. And you're walking in darkness. Hear me. If you are walking in offense and unforgiveness and you do not love your brother, I'm telling you, the Bible says you are walking in darkness. And maybe, just maybe, that's probably why you can't make sense of your life. Because anyone who knows what walking in the darkness looks like, it's disorienting. It's confusing. It's easy to get lost in the darkness. because you have no idea where you're going. And that's why John is so strategic when he continues and he says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Hear me. The reason why you can't allow hatred and bitterness to take over your life is because it destroys your perspective of not only God, but of people. You see, walking in the light of love ensures that we don't cause others or ourselves to stumble. That's why John says, in him, the person who walked in the light of love, there is no stumbling. It means that it ensures that you don't cause yourself to mess